Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
We are going to take our text this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1. And I have a message this morning that is a very vital message. Every message from God's Word is important. Every message is vital, but we are going to look at a subject that many people struggle with. Many people are curious about. Many people wonder what God's Word has to say on it, what the truth of the matter is. And I pray that this message will be a help, a real help, and a real clarification on the subject of election. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then verse 2 says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, God has an elect people. That's not something that needs to be argued. It's not something that needs to be proven. It just needs to be declared from God's Word. We open up God's Word and declare what He has written, and election is preached. And what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look at God's election in light of the way He chose to elect His people. God has elected a people. And what I want us to see is the way He chose to elect those people. Did He have a criteria? Did something influence Him? Was there something that influenced His election? Verse 2 tells us that it was according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, when the subject of election comes up, if God has not revealed the truth of the matter to a person, if they do not yet see the truth of God's election, and the subject comes up, usually you'll get one of three opinions on it. One of three responses to it. The first one is, I don't believe in it. Whenever the truth has not been revealed to a person, that's generally the most common response. I don't believe in it. I just do not believe that God elected who He would save. I do not believe that God chose on purpose, particular people to save. Well, we just read where Peter said, I'm talking to those who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That's what's written in the Word of God. But if that's not enough, turn with me to Isaiah 45. And if you have wondered about this subject, or if you believe in it and would like to find verses that you can show to others on it, I encourage you to get a Bible, because we are going to turn to many scriptures throughout the course of this message. We're going to prove from God's Word. We're going to declare in God's Word His election. And in Isaiah 45, it says in verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect. This is God speaking. He said, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Though you have not known me. Even though you don't know me. I'm going to do this for you because you're my elect. Even though you don't know me. Over in Isaiah 65, if you turn over a few pages to Isaiah 65, it says in verse 9, And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. In verse 22 of the same chapter, he said, They shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. My elect. He kept saying, my elect. Romans 8. If you turn with me to Romans 8, it says in verse 33, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And I could show you 23 other verses of Scripture that have the very word in the verse. But the truth is, election, God's election is on every page in this book. Once a sinner has his eyes opened to God's election, he sees it on every single page in this book. So to say I don't believe in it, that's just wrong. For that to just be my answer, well, I just don't believe in it. That's wrong. A person can believe in it or not believe in it. But either way, it doesn't change the fact that God chose exactly who He wanted to save. All right, now for those who say that they believe in God's election, for those who say, yes, okay, I've read it in the Word and I see it in the Word and I believe in election. For those who believe in election, there are still two ways of looking at it that are still wrong. For those who believe in it, two ways that are still wrong. First, men will say, God cast a vote for you. And the devil cast a vote against you. And now the choice is yours. They say, oh yes, I believe in election. God cast that vote for you. Devil cast it against you, but the deciding vote is yours. I believe in election and the deciding vote is yours. That's not God's election. That's your election. If I am the one who cast that final vote, then that's my election. God and the devil are just campaigning. That's all that's happening. He wants my vote. He wants my vote. Choice is mine. That's my election. That's not God's election. The people did not elect God. God elected the people. And our Lord tells us that in John 15. Turn with me over to John 15 and look with me at verse 16. He said, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He said, I have ordained you to that. I have chosen you to that. Over in Ephesians 1. And again, I realize we're turning to quite a few scriptures, but this is how it becomes proven to us. Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, Blessed be God, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So this thing of us having the final say in election, us having that final word, that final choice, well, that's just wrong. That's wrong. To say, I don't believe in election, that's wrong. And to say, yeah, I believe in election, the choice is yours. Well, that's wrong too. God did all the choosing in salvation. All the choosing. Now, the other opinion on election that's still wrong is this. Someone will say, okay, God did the choosing. I see that. I've read those scriptures and I see that God did all the choosing, but He knows everything. And He does know everything. He's all-knowing. He's the all-knowing, all-wise God. So some will say He knows everything and He looked down through time. He looked all the way down to the end of time. He looked at every person that would ever be born all the way to the end of time to see who would obey Him and see who would believe on Him, who would be worthy of His choosing, and that's who He chose. He chose the ones who would choose Him and believe on Him and be worthy of His choosing. Well, is that the truth of how it went? The answer is in Psalm 14. Look with me at Psalm chapter 14, verse 2 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Verse 3 says, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Lord looked down through time, all right. He did. He most certainly did. He looked down through time. He does know everything. He does see everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows all. And when He looked down at every soul that would ever enter this world, He saw that there was not one soul, none, not one that would seek God and do good. He said, no, not one, not one, not one. So the truth about how God chose to save His people is this. Here's the truth of how God chose to save His people. He did not put a standard or a condition on any of them. No condition. Not on any of them. If He had, none of them would have or could have kept it. Had He said, this is my condition, we see that none could and none would be able to keep it. If He said, now if they choose me, I'll choose them. Had He said that, we just saw that man didn't. You've not chosen me. Sinful man would not. Sinful man naturally is enmity against God. Sinful man naturally is dead in trespasses and sins. A dead man can't choose. So had He said, well, if you choose me, I'll choose you, well, that's an impossibility. Had He said, If they believe on me, I'll choose them. Well, Ephesians 2 tells us that faith, that ability to believe, is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. The only way a sinner can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is if God gives that sinner faith. So that's an impossibility. None could believe in order for him to choose them. Had he said, if they'll just obey me, if they'll just honor me, and if they'll just glory in me, then I'll choose them. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. No condition could be put on man. No condition could. There was no requirement that man was able to meet. So no condition could have been put on man. Now look with me, if you would, at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 10 says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. They had not done anything. No condition was involved. They were not even born yet. And that the purpose of God according to election might stand, that it might be proven that God elects whom He will. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? What's our response to that? Before they were ever even born, God said, I choose Jacob and I don't choose Esau. Verse 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Absolutely not. Neither Jacob nor Esau deserved God's choosing. Neither one of them. To say, well, that's not fair. God didn't choose Esau. Esau did not deserve God's choice. And neither do I. And neither do you. No man does. No sinner who's angry and enmity, an enemy of God by nature. No sinner who does no good. Did any of them do good? None of them. No one deserves His favor. So is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He says in verse 15, He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. Men love to go around talking about free will. They love to preach free will. Now you have a free will and you're going to need to, of your own free will, decide to believe on Christ and decide to be saved and decide to not sin anymore and decide all these things. God said, it is not of him that willeth. It's not of him that willeth. The only person who has a free will is God Almighty. Our will is bound to sin. Sin is what we are. Sin is all we're capable of doing in this flesh. So God said in verse 16, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Men and women believe God is going to accept them and choose them because of the works they're doing. They have all these good works credited to their account. That's what they believe. And they believe, surely God's going to choose me now because of all these things I've done. He said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Well, then how are men chosen? He said at the end of verse 16, it's of God that showeth mercy. It's of God. It's of God. It's of God Almighty. We read what God said there about Jacob and Esau, and the flesh naturally says, if you know their story, Jacob was a trickster, a supplanter. Esau was a cunning hunter. He was a good son to his parents. And we read what God says about Jacob and Esau, and our flesh says, well, but I liked Esau better. God chose Jacob, but I personally liked Esau better. The truth of the matter is, Esau was not better. He was not better. He was a sinner just like the rest of us. Both of those two boys deserved damnation. Esau got what he wanted. You know that? Esau got what he wanted. The choice was put in front of him. Do you want the blessing or do you want the world? Which one is it, Esau? He said, give me the world. Of his own flesh, of his own will, of his own choice, he chose damnation. But for the grace of God, so would we. That's just the truth of the matter. But for the grace of God, we would choose the same thing Esau chose. Man is totally depraved. Therefore, God's election had to be unconditional. Totally unconditional. Some unworthy sinners were just chosen to salvation, chosen by God Almighty. Some were redeemed from the pit, plucked from the fire. Now, how did God make His choice? If there was nothing worthy in any of them, if there was nothing that recommended any of them in the flesh, what made God choose this one and not that one? Go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 42. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Now, this is God speaking. He said, behold my servant. He's talking about Christ, whom I uphold, mine elect. He said, he is mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He's going to do it. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, he said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God said, I choose my son. That's what he said. I choose my son. He is my elect. He is the one I choose. And every soul in him is going to be chosen with him. Christ is the difference. Christ is the only difference. Every soul outside of Him God Almighty says, is outside of my choice. Christ is the difference. We just read a moment ago in Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him. In Christ. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Somebody will say, well, can His choice be altered? No. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, He is the Lord, He changes not. That's what He said of Himself. I am the Lord, I change not. Somebody will say, so either I'm chosen or I'm not? You mean to tell me it's just either I'm chosen or I'm not? That's right. This is God we're talking about. This is God Almighty. Somebody will say, well, how can I know if I'm chosen? If it's in His hands, and either I'm chosen or I'm not, how can I know if I'm chosen? How can I know if I am going to be found in Christ? How can I know that? The answer is in Acts chapter 13. I do encourage you to turn and look at this with me, because this is wonderful. Acts 13, verse 48 says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Do you see that? Believed what? Believed God's word on the matter. Believed God, whatever He says. Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice right there that it does not say, as many as believed were ordained? It says, as many as were ordained, believed. Faith, true faith, to believe what God has said on the subject is the evidence of election. God chooses His people, gives them faith to believe, and they do. They bow. They bow, and that's the evidence that we're in Christ. Faith to believe it. God giving that faith is the evidence that He will conform His elect into the image of His Son. May God give that faith to us. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.